I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. It's still kind of soggy. Now, I'm told it's all going to be rolling out, but I'll keep you updated, I promise, on when that may exactly happen. Now, there's a lot that we have to deal with, of course. The poor folks in Georgia in particular, who are still dealing with Hurricane Helene, and our friends, and a little bit closer, as far as neighbors go, folks down in Southwest Virginia, this is still a major catastrophic event. Governor Ron DeSantis down in Florida said, hey, listen, we're good here. We're good. Take whatever assets you've got, whatever stuff you've got, take it somewhere else. We are all good in Florida. Send it somewhere else. And even with all of this going on, we've got the President of the United States who sat on a beach taking a nap. The vice president, guess what she did? She came back for a photo op. They put her at a FEMA-themed desk. They had people sitting around her. But then it was exposed. The vice president does not have any responsibility or authority to do anything with FEMA. So the real FEMA people were not even there. The real FEMA people were trying to do the work. And the real FEMA people, to put it mildly, were PO'd that the VP decided to do a PO. See? Like all those letters? A photo op. But that's what it is. It was just, it was the same as pretending that you were the Super Bowl winning quarterback by holding a football. Just absurd stuff. Absolutely ridiculous stuff. I got to talk about Pete Rose. Oh, I know we've got the debate coming up, and we are going to talk about the debate. Make no mistake about it. Our friend Abel Maldonado, former lieutenant governor of the state of California, is going to be with us. I love Abel. I really do. I voted for Abel. I supported Abel. I wanted Abel very much to either be the governor of California when we were living out there. And that didn't quite work out. Then I thought, well, he'd be perfect as Secretary of Agriculture for President Trump. And maybe in this administration. But anyway, Abel will be with us at 4:05. Our good friend Joe Moreno is going to be here at the bottom of the hour, 3:35. Now, we got a lot to talk about with Joe. Remember, he's the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. We'll talk about Jack Smith. We'll talk about some of this January 6th nonsense. We'll talk about Eric Adams up in New York City. And I want to find out if there are any activities underway as we speak to get attorneys into polling places around America. Remember, that's one of the ways that Governor Youngkin won. Governor Youngkin, when he was running against Terry McAuliffe, had teams of poll observers, lawyers all over the Commonwealth, ready to go at a moment's notice to make sure that the election was conducted honestly, fairly, openly, properly. I don't know if President Trump has the resources to have an attorney in every polling place around America. Remember what he told us? Remember what he said at the Richmond Convention Center 2 months ago, whatever it was? He said it's got to be too big to rig. I agree with him. It does have to be too big to rig. And while we're speaking of rigging, yes, I go back to Pete Rose. Now, let me tell you just a couple of little stories about Pete Rose. Because I know what you're saying, Jeff, you're not really a big baseball guy. Nah, I'm not the world's biggest baseball guy. I will happily watch the Red Sox, because I'm married into a Red Sox family. And I think back to the time when I was a kid and we were watching the Philadelphia Phillies. I loved Greg Luzinski. If you remember the Bull, Greg Luzinski probably weighed about 300 pounds. And he, seriously, he had like this big beer belly that hung over his belt. And his uniform always, well, it looked like it was the uniform of a guy who had a big beer belly that hung over his belt. But he would get to the plate, man, and he would swing and that ball would be gone. And I think the reason that he hit so many home runs was so he didn't have to run, you know, because that way he could walk the bases. But I'm not the biggest baseball fan, but I did have interaction with Pete Rose in another venue. Pete Rose was part of WrestleMania. Yep, when WrestleMania took place up at what was then called the Fleet Center in Boston. I think it's again called the Boston Garden or the TD Garden, but it was known as the Fleet Center then. And that was my introduction to WrestleMania. I'm not going to sit here and say I have a long history with Vince McMahon. I don't. Although I'm watching Mr. McMahon on Netflix for the second time. Now, you know who does have a long history? Is my physician, the best doctor in all of Virginia, Dr. Bob Quarles, Threshold Medical in Midlothian. Yes, I'm giving him a shameless plug because he's a great guy. And he worked, he was the medical director for WWF for like 5 years. His daughters kind of grew up backstage. But my introduction to WrestleMania activities, because we all worked sort of as, I guess now we call everybody enhancement talent, but we were jobbers. We were the guys that would lose to make the other guys look good. It's part of the business. It's a very important part of the business. And this was the first time I was ever involved with WrestleMania, which is incredible. But you may or may not recall that Pete Rose was part of that WrestleMania. Pete Rose came out to the ring and started running down Boston, running down all the Boston teams, talking about Bill Buckner, all this stuff. And then he got a tombstone pile driver or two and did a stretcher job to the back. And I was in the back when he jumped off the stretcher. Went, man, that was fun. So that was my interaction with Pete Rose. And he was one of the nicest guys I had ever met. The idea that Pete Rose, who was a superstar, because you may or may not remember that particular WrestleMania, is where the Stone Cold Steve Austin guy gets to the top. He wins the title there. He beats Shawn Michaels. You know who else was there? Do you remember? Mike Tyson. Tyson was friendly in the back, believe it or not. But Pete Rose was just an absolute delight. Now, fast forward a number of years. My dad and my mom have retired. Right. They worked their entire lives, lived their entire lives in Philadelphia. My mom retired. She was a med-surg nurse, 40 plus years. My dad worked 42 years for the federal government after he got out of the army and the military police. And then, you know, they got to an age where, well, it's the law. They had to retire and move to Florida. So that's what they did. And they were retired, I don't know, 2 weeks before my mom said to me, your dad's got to get another job. He's driving me freaking crazy. And sure enough, my dad went and got a job. And he got a job at Office Depot, the local Office Depot. So it got him out of the house, gave him some place to go because he didn't play golf. And there was a guy who came in one day looking for office supplies. And they went up, this particular guy was walking around and people were walking up to him. And then he finally came upon my dad. My dad was wearing, I guess, like an Office Depot polo shirt or something. And the guy walked up and he said, excuse me, could you help me? He said, oh, yeah, absolutely. What can I do for you? And he's telling him, well, you know, I've got this restaurant next door we're opening up, and he was going down the list. We need pens, we need writing tablets, we need this, we need that. My dad's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. Sure, let me help you out. And I guess my dad grabbed one of the carts at Office Depot, and these two guys are walking around the store and getting their office supplies. And this guy says to my dad, so where are you from? Because in Florida, for the most part, everybody's from somewhere else. He says, oh, we're from Philadelphia. And Pete Rose, my dad doesn't know it's Pete Rose. And Pete Rose says to him, he says, oh, you know, I spent a couple of years in Philadelphia. And he said, oh, did you work there? And I guess Pete Rose thought he was ribbing him. He said, yeah, I did work there for a couple of years. Oh, that's great. What do you do? And it was at that point, I guess, that Pete Rose realized my dad didn't have a flipping clue who he was. And Pete Rose decided, man, I like this guy. This guy's not out to be friends with me because I'm Pete Rose. He doesn't even know who I am or what I do. And so he got the order, and somebody delivered it over there. And the kid, I guess, who delivered it came back and said, hey, to my dad, hey, Mr. Katz, yeah. You know, I took your delivery over there to Pete Rose. My father said, oh, well, thank you very much. Again, the kid's waiting, like, it's Pete Rose. And my dad said, yeah, that's the guy who's got the restaurant next door, which, by the way, was called Pete Rose's, right there on Glades Boulevard in Boca. And the long story was that Pete Rose used to come back into the Office Depot personally to buy pens and paper and envelopes. He always asked for my dad, and then he always invited my dad to come over to the restaurant, have a sandwich, have a beer after work, and they got to be very, very friendly. Now, look, Pete Rose was not hanging out at my folks' house in the backyard or anything like that, and my dad was not hanging out at Pete Rose's home, but during their work days, they became like the best of buddies, mainly, I have to say, because my dad did not know who Pete Rose was. And he wasn't asking him to sign baseballs. He wasn't asking for 8x10s. He wasn't asking for tickets to games. He didn't ask him, geez, how come you bet on the games? None of that, because my dad was blissfully unaware. And even as Pete Rose was trying to smarten him up through a couple of years, you know, say, oh, yeah, you know, I play baseball. I was pretty good at it, too. And I played here, and I was in Philly, and I was in Montreal. And I guess they had a big discussion about Montreal at some point. My dad told me later on, because, oh, yeah, I told him that, you know, you and your girlfriend then became my wife. Yeah, you guys like Montreal. And he said, oh, there's some good places up there. And he said he spent a lot of time in Cincinnati, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, my son was in Cincinnati for, I don't know, it was like a month. He got there, and then the radio station got sold, and so 4 weeks later, everybody, oh, no kidding. And Pete knew the radio station. I mean, it was just so crazy that these two guys who really had nothing in common except that they were both very polite and very friendly, wound up being kind of buddies. And my dad would just go over there all the time. And people would say, oh, can you take us over to meet Pete Rose? And my dad's response was no. And I do believe that that was one of the things that Pete Rose liked about my dad. Having said all of that, can I say something? Can I say this, please? Pete Rose ought to be in the Hall of Fame. There should be no discussions about it. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Rambo in Black Creek, who we all know is actually Mike over in, I forget the name of the place. Remember, he's the guy who was talking about that the ugly R word, and I said, this is probably not the show for you. Well, he still listens. He just hasn't figured out that the phone number comes up on our Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Carpetbagger, go back to Philadelphia. Were you with, I guess he means were you with Pete Rose when he got kicked out of Major League Baseball for gambling? Ugh. All right, if you would like to send an intelligent, well-thought-out text, I would love to see it. Just send it to the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. It is 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Three Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday. I believe we've still got a couple of tickets left for Politics and Pints. Crazy to think about it because we're about 2 weeks away. It's October the 16th. It's coming up. If you'd like to go, I would head on over right now, WRVA.com. Get those tickets while you can get them, because once they are gone, they are gone. John Amos has passed away. Man, it's like all bad news, right? John Amos, 84 years old. Pete Rose, 83. Dikembe Mutombo was, what did I see, 53, 54? I mean, that's, Well, anyway, let me get to a couple of nice texts coming in on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Tony in Henrico says, Jeff, does Pete Rose stay involved with baseball, such as coaching young kids? Well, Pete Rose is dead, so I would say the answer is no. He does not stay involved with baseball. 757, Jeff, thank you for your story about Pete Rose and your dad. It put a smile on my face on a day when the world is filled with bad news. My basement is leaking, and the dogs are puking everywhere. Wow. Yikes. 804, do you have concerns about George Soros getting express treatment on the approval to take over 200 radio stations? Could this be to limit could this be to limit conservative talk radio? Bruce, could be. And an RBA says, Jeff, I agree. What Pete Rose did should not keep him out of the Hall of Fame. He was one of the best players of all time. Yep. I mean, you may not like him, but he was one hell of a player. Best lawyer anywhere, Joe Moreno. He's next right here. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Little rainy, but I am told it's all going to be moving out. So that is great. We'll get through it. And then once that is gone, FYI, it appears that we've got sunny or partly sunny skies for the next week, which would be good to kind of dry out some of this rain. About a half hour from now, an old friend of mine, Abel Maldonado. Abel is the former lieutenant governor of the state of California. He's the last Republican in that office. I believe he's actually the last statewide elected Republican in California. And that's not going to be changing anytime soon. But he's going to be with us at 4:05. Lay out a little bit what it is that we might expect this evening as J.D. Vance and Tim Walz go head-to-head. It's going to be interesting. And there's a lot of stuff going on legally. You know, the mayor of New York has now been indicted, but he said it's all racial. Anyway. I want to get updated on that and Jack Smith, and there's some developments on the January 6th matters, and I am curious to know, are we going to have attorneys positioned at polling places around America for President Trump like Governor Youngkin did? Well, I've got legal questions, and the only guy that I trust with anything legal, as you know, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, former federal prosecutor himself, Joe Moreno. Counselor, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Jeff, always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, the pleasure is always ours. I'm not sure where you want to start, so I'm going to ask you, take a look at your old stomping grounds of New York, the mayor of New York City now facing federal charges.
Yeah, I mean, pretty embarrassing as a New Yorker, where I feel like we had 20 solid years of cleaning up the streets, both first with Rudy Giuliani and then with Mike Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. Two decades of really tightening up things up there, followed by now a decade of just an absolute mess, and capped off with this latest mayor who's now been charged. And it's really seedy kind of stuff, right? It's taking money from Turkish businessmen and possibly the Turkish government to basically give favors in terms of a Turkish consulate being built in Midtown Manhattan and not having to get certain permits. It also has to do with straw donors, which are basically people that collect money from a source and then pretend to be donating that money personally to get around campaign contribution caps. Mm. So, you know, it's a big mess. And for him to kind of play the race card, I mean, look, you know, the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York is an African-American, very smart prosecutor, tough guy. You know, to say that a Democrat-controlled Justice Department is bringing charges that are racially based, I don't know, it's pretty weak.
Talk a little bit about the idea that these are federal charges to begin with. The federal government, unlike a lot of things that many of us have experienced, I was a police officer. We had a district attorney in my case in Philadelphia. There were a lot of cases that came in, a lot of cases that went out. The U.S. attorneys have the ability to have the FBI investigating something for years before they bring charges. And what is it, like a 90, 95% conviction rate?
Yeah, I mean, That's right. So the idea that these were cooked up just recently is absurd.
Yeah.
This is probably considered the premier federal prosecutor's office in the country,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe followed by the Eastern District of New York and the Eastern District of Virginia, where I practiced.
Right.
Some of the top offices, they're not going to bring a case like this against a sitting Democrat mayor without approval of the highest levels of the Justice Department and the FBI.
Right.
So again, this is not some rogue prosecutor doing whatever he wants. This has gone through many, many levels of vetting in order to bring these charges, and I have no doubt they are serious.
All right, so it is not a matter of, Mayor Adams said this, this, and this 60 days ago, we're going to nail him.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's kind of what I thought. I mean, it's going to be interesting. He's promising to fight, and I'm sure there will be some big-name New York attorneys that will stand with him, take the case. But, boy, it would seem to me that his goose is probably cooked. It's just a matter of when they're going to actually take it out and serve it.
Bribery charges can be surprisingly difficult because of how the Supreme Court has set certain requirements, which actually stem from our former Virginia governor, McDonald.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to show a very explicit quid pro quo, which has made those cases more difficult, like a very explicit, I give you this in return for that. So now, I'm sure the Justice Department took that into account when they brought these charges, but just to make a point, that is, it has become more difficult, although they just did it in New Jersey, right, with Senator Menendez.
Yep.
And then there's that straw donor scheme. That's much easier to prove. And there's some talk that there is at least one Turkish businessman who is cooperating with the FBI.
Right.
So if that's the case, that is not a difficult case to make.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, people sometimes forget, and I want to remind everybody that former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno is joining us. Joe, people sometimes forget, particularly on the federal level, you know, everybody trades up. And by the time you get something like this, by the time you get a prosecution brought against a figure like that, you've got people behind the scenes that were already caught, lower level players who say, hey, I know this looks good, but guess what? I can give you the mayor. Or I can give you this guy, and it's going to be interesting. Now, you mentioned the premier legal sites, right? Eastern District of New York, Southern District of New York, Eastern District of Virginia. Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, I think, comes into play. And Jack Smith is he still all wound up?
So, you know, there's talk about what the October surprise going to be this year.
Yeah.
Well, I think Jack Smith is doing all he can to be that October surprise.
Oh.
So what he's done is, because if you recall a few months ago, the Supreme Court set some pretty tight standards around how you can prosecute a president and basically said you cannot prosecute a president for engaging in official acts, right? Official acts of his or her presidency, presidential powers, right?
Right.
And not only that, you can't introduce any evidence regarding official acts to prove any other crimes. So you really have to scrub those kinds of charges and all that kind of evidence from a prosecution like the one that Jack Smith has brought in D.C.
Okay.
So what has been done now the last couple of months? Well, it's gone back to Judge Chutkan in D.C. She has said to Jack Smith, okay, go through all your evidence and scrub out or flag anything that you feel should still be allowed to be in your prosecution. So what has he done? He has spent 2 months compiling 200 pages outlining his entire case and all his charges and all his evidence, and he wants to just dump this in a public filing with some redactions, he says, for the most sensitive information. And he wants to drop this on the public. So basically, he wants to try his entire case in a document 6 weeks before an election, even though there's no trial anywhere on the horizon. It reeks of the most, like, egregious misuse of the justice system. And I got to tell you, as a lawyer personally, when I look at the media, I mean, no offense, I expect that kind of one-sidedness from the media for at least the last 20 years. But from the legal system, up until now, it's been pretty clean. I mean, if you recall, even under President Trump, he did not prosecute Hillary Clinton for her very bad classified document mishandling. Remember John Durham, who was the special counsel looking into Russiagate?
Yeah.
Bill Barr specifically made him wait to reveal his findings until after the 2020 election because he did not want to interfere with the election.
Yeah.
Here, Jack Smith is doing everything he can to interfere with this election. And far from being coy about it, he is absolutely upfront. He has said multiple times he believes it's his duty to bring this information about Donald Trump to light before the election. It's just it's repugnant from a lawyer's perspective. It is against every Justice Department regulation and rule and basic concept of what the judicial system is supposed to be, that you do not let politics infect a prosecution. It should be about the law and the facts and protecting the rights of the defendant. And that includes staying out of politics.
Now, is this in the lap of Judge Chutkan then to decide whether Jack Smith gets to release this and have his sort of show trial publicly?
Exactly. So the Trump team had until today to file its motion to basically argue why this should not be made public. And Judge Chutkan has then gives herself about a week to decide. So right around a month before Election Day, I think it's a pretty safe bet that we're going to get a dump of documents about a week from now.
Wow. Now, no offense to you, Counselor, but this stinks to high heaven, and that's coming from somebody who has been playing in the media for a long time. So I know nonsense, and this is filled with it truly is embarrassing on every level.
Now, Jeff, believe me, as an attorney, as a prosecutor, I think it's abhorrent, and I don't understand the degree. I understand that we feel strongly about our political figures these days, and I think Donald Trump, he engenders a degree of both love and hate that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And people are absolutely within their rights to like him, to support him, to not like him, vote against him, whatever.
That's right.
But this piling on of these cases, the Letitia James civil case, the Alvin Bragg criminal case, the Fannie Willis criminal case, I mean, these were disasters. I mean, these were ridiculous misuses of the judicial system. Jack Smith's case in Florida, which has now been thrown out, this one in D.C. that he's hanging on to for bare life just to kind of get whatever he can out of it. It's grotesque. And I'd like to think that we can get past this in the future. But if the left thinks that they're going to do this and then it can never be turned back on them someday, I mean, that's just like a fool errand. I mean, why would they think that? Once they've unleashed this, it's hard to put it back in the box.
That's exactly right. Well, Joe, I can't believe it. We're out of time here, but I want you to remind everybody, number one, where they can follow you on social media, where they can read some of your writings now online. You got some great stuff out there.
Hey, it's josephmoreno.com. It's Joseph Moreno on X. I write for The Spectator, which is a fantastic conservative periodical. It comes out of the UK, but we have a US edition, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, again, I encourage people, get out and vote. I mean, it's such a critical election from a political perspective, a legal perspective, a citizen's perspective. So please don't hesitate. Vote. Get your family members to vote. Get your friends to vote. But make it happen.
Absolutely. Joe, I appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Joe Moreno, the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Some really interesting insight there. And Joe says in about a week or so, he thinks that's the so-called October surprise, that about 200 pages or more of documents and information from this Jack Smith up in D.C. is going to be dropped again in an effort to torpedo President Trump. 3:46, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. Tomorrow is Wednesday. Absolutely. That's the way this whole thing works, right? Tomorrow is also Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah. It's the head of the year. I explained this the other day that actually in Judaism, we have a couple of New Years. It's really weird. I don't know. We got a lot of complicated stuff going on. But I'm not going to be here tomorrow. That's the whole point of me sharing that with you. It begins at sundown this evening. And there's some people who take 2 days off. I'm going to take 1 day off. And I think it's important for me to take the day off. And I know you're thinking, what are you going to do? You sit around. Well, I think it's important because I want to remind everybody that we in the Jewish community are, in fact, actually a very, very big part of the community writ large. You know what I mean? So this always gives me the opportunity to chat a little bit about it. So I'm not going to be here tomorrow. That's all I'm going to tell you. That's it. No big deal. Don't worry about it. A nice email here. Do you mind if I, not an email, a text on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. The reason I mentioned email, let me share the email with you first. I'm not actually going to share the email because it's a series of ridiculous emails. There's a guy in Henrico by the name of Larry. And Larry loves sending these moronic, hateful emails. And I see them pop up, and for the most part, I don't even open them. Because I know it's going to be the same sort of nonsense about Donald Trump and what a terrible person I am and blah, blah, blah. So Larry spends a lot of time putting them together, which is kind of stupid on his part, but I don't think he's exactly the brightest bulb on the porch anyway. So he does that. Well, the last one he sent, he mentioned Julia. And he had it right in the subject line, your daughter. And I thought, all right, lunatic. So what I have done, I sent him a note saying, you know, don't ever, ever even think about chatting about my daughter. You know, that's just not gonna happen. But in addition to that, I also tracked him down. And so I know exactly who he is and where he is. And I've just advised him, you know, you just got to go away. I mean, you want to listen to the show, that's fine. You want to be angry with things that are said, that's okay, too. But don't ever, ever contact me and say anything about my daughter. That's just outrageous. The flip side of it is Joe in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, getting us on the chronic.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here of Richmond text line 833-804-1140 mentions my little guy, Joe. Now that's okay. He says, Jeff, I'm just curious. You keep mentioning Joe and Emily. Did he say goodbye to Ithaca? No. He has changed his major. So this semester, he's back home doing a bunch of classwork locally. And then he'll head back to the frozen tundra when it's even more frozen for the so-called spring semester. Coming up in a moment, former Lieutenant Governor of California, Abel Maldonado, on the VP debate, 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 405, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. The rain appears to be dialing back just a little bit. That's going to be good. We'll deal with some of it still through the evening. But then once we get through this, I got news for you. I'm looking forward to about 2 weeks of sunny skies, which is great. I think that's very, very, very cool. This evening, we have the vice presidential debate. U.S. Senator J.D. Vance and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. What should we expect? Does it make a difference? That's one of the questions that we have to figure out, right? Is anybody going to change their vote based on what these two guys say? I don't know. What are they going to say? What should we expect? Very few people are as astute a political observer, able to offer insight like former California Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado. And I'm just so thrilled to welcome him back to the program. Abel, my friend, thank you for being here.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for having me again. It's an honor to be on your show again.
Listen, the pleasure is ours. You, my friend, have been through these things. You've been in debates. You've gone head-to-head with people that you know you disagree with and what have you. What is going on right now? Take J.D. Vance as an example. What is he doing to get prepped and get ready for this?
You know, Jeff, we always hear that candidates, they go into a lockdown and they get somebody to play the other opponent, and then they go through this and that. At the end of the day, I was in office for 20 years. At the end of the day, you need to be authentic. You need to let the American people, or the people you're trying to represent, let them see who the real person is. Tonight we're going to see Tim Walz. This guy, you know, I've been watching him from afar. I've actually studied him a little bit. I've watched his debates. You know, he comes across as folksy, and he will be. He'll go in there, and he won't answer any questions, and he'll just kind of stick along this Midwestern stuff. You know, the guy wears boots. He wears Wranglers. He wears a camouflage hat. Yeah. He hugs pigs at the Minnesota State Fair. And then he puts tampons in fourth grade boys' classrooms. That guy's a counterfeit. He's a fake. Yeah. So we're going to see that tonight. He's going to lie through his teeth. That's what he does. He doesn't answer the question. And then we have J.D. Vance. I think J.D. Vance, you know, the first week he came out of the gate, he stumbled a little bit here and there, but I think he's doing fantastic. And, you know, he's taking questions, Jeff, from everybody. He takes questions from everybody. And guess what? That is going to prepare him for tonight. I think he's going to do really well tonight. And right when you started your show, Jeff, does it really matter? I don't know if there's going to be another presidential debate, but I can tell you this. If this is the last one, this will be the last snapshot we get to see of both campaigns, and I'm really excited to see J.D. Vance tonight.
That's a great point. Former California Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado joining us. That is a great point. This could very well be the final sort of head-to-head matchup. Now, I am concerned that CBS, which is putting on the debate, if you looked at the numbers, it's polar opposites. 85% positive coverage for Harris Walz, 85% negative coverage for Trump and Vance. So I've got to be a little concerned if I'm J.D. Vance that I'm even gonna get a fair shot.
You know, we saw what happened at the last presidential debate with President Trump and Kamala Harris. It was a one-way deal, Jeff. And, you know, when you go debate, it's not your job to fact-check the people that are talking. It's your job to give them the question. They answer it. If they don't answer it, you can ask the question again. But they were fact-checking President Trump. And actually, if you're going to fact-check one, you better fact-check the other. It's
That's
just
right.
simple. They did not, Jeff. It was a one-way show there. So tonight, I think, you know, they're probably going to do the same thing here in this debate, but I have a lot of faith in J.D. I think he's very, very smart. He's brilliantly smart. And, you know, they're going to come after him with all the stuff, you know. They're going to bring up the cat stuff and all this stuff. The American people, they can see through all that. I'm just hopeful that tonight J.D. closes strong. Yep. And it's just pretty basic. I mean, the border is one of the biggest issues. She's weak on the border.
Oh,
Tim Walz is going to have to answer for himself. He's going to have to answer for Joe Biden, and he's got to answer for Kamala Harris. It's that simple. So the border is wide open. I mean, it's just a disgrace. Our economy, people can't afford little extra stuff that we used to afford under President Trump. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? It's going to be a big night. It really, really is. And tonight is going to set the tone when the debate's over with. It's a horse race. And I know Virginia, I've seen some polling. It's getting tighter and closer, which is a win for Donald J. Trump.
Oh, no doubt about it. Let me tell you something, Abel. I've seen some of the national pundits saying, well, that's, you know, Virginia's off the table. Well, I'm here. And we just had the University of Mary Washington poll. This is absolutely a horse race in Virginia. Nobody has this won. And given that Joe Biden won Virginia last time by 10 points, let's not kid ourselves. That is saying an awful lot. You mentioned the economy and just what a bad situation we're in. Did you ever think you would get to a point where somebody like J.D. Vance, who is living the American success story, right? Puts himself through school, serves in the military, does all these. Somehow that is weird and wrong? When did we go down that track?
I mean, Jeff, if you heard when Tim Walz spoke at the Democrat convention, his biggest applause line was when he said, and none of my students went to Yale. Since when? Since when does a political party or a candidate for vice president is knocking a young man who came out of Ohio, a hard life at the beginning with a single mother who raised him, and it was a hard way to raise him, goes on to Yale, graduates? Since when is that bad in America? Only at the Democrat convention, and only with Tim Walz.
Only with Tim Walz. Yeah, it is craziness. You know, one of the things that I'm going to ask you if you think J.D. Vance is going to be able to raise is what seems to be Tim Walz's connection to the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, this is troubling, Abel. Very, very concerning.
Well, at first it was 30 visits to China, Jeff, and then they backtracked and they said he kind of over-embellished that he went 15 times, and they confirmed that he went 15 times. And I want to know how a high school teacher can go to China 15 times.
Yeah.
I want to know who funded that. I want to know who paid for that.
Yep.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense, Jeff. No. It doesn't make sense. So I hope J.D. will bring that up. And I got a feeling he is, because J.D.'s very smart and he's very good.
Yeah. What else do you think needs to be raised? Because, again, I don't have all that much confidence in the so-called debate moderator. So I am counting on J.D. Vance to really be the voice for the Trump-Vance team, which to me says it's the voice for America. What else does he need to raise, do you think?
I think he needs to raise the border. There's no doubt. Kamala Harris was the border czar. She opened the floodgates. I mean, when she was in California, Jeff, and I had a front row seat to her in California, and I watched her as a DA, I watched her as a attorney general, and I watched her as a U.S. senator, and she could care less about the border. She didn't care. I mean, she's more liberal than Bernie Sanders. So in California, it was abolish ICE. In California, it was about close the detention centers, give illegal immigrants taxpayer-funded health care, give illegal immigrants taxpayer housing, and now they're flying them over the border. She supports sanctuary cities, and I hope J.D. brings it up tonight because it is a huge problem. And then this notion, Jeff, of non-detained illegal immigrants. Let me just share with you briefly what that means. That means you've been apprehended at the border. You've been apprehended by the Immigration Department, ICE. They know you're a convicted murderer. They know you're a convicted sexual assault person. And they let you go. They give you a court date, and they let you go in America. You think they're going to go back for court? Absolutely not. We don't even know where they're at.
Right.
And I hope that he brings it up, because when you do the economy and you do the open border, I think that's a disqualification to be president of the United States, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just flat-out disqualification.
Yeah. And we in Virginia, we may not share a border with Mexico, but we have become a border state, and we are seeing all of these difficulties, all of these problems, criminals that have been brought here, dropped here, and we have local prosecutors have said, yeah, we're not going to cooperate with ICE. We're not even going to arrest anybody. It's bad. It's really bad.
100%, Jeff. I was at a press conference down in Arizona with Governor Greg Abbott from Texas, and he told me, he says, Abel, just one morning I got up and I said, how am I going to get this message out to the rest of America? And he decided to bus them to Kamala Harris's house in D.C. And you know what? You deal with it. This is what's going on in my state. You're going to deal with it in your backyard. And you're right. Every state now is a border state. And it's just been, it's been incredible how they've allowed this to happen under their watch. It's just crazy. And, you know, on Saturday, we have President Trump going back to Butler. And President Trump's going to continue his speech that he was giving the day he was shot at. And he's going to finish his speech in Butler. And I think it says a lot about who he is. Every morning, this man wakes up. He's got DOJ on him. He's got the press on him. He's got everybody on him. They've shot at him once. Another time they wanted to shoot at him.
Yep.
I'm like, thank you for running, but my God, what has this man gone through? And then they say, you know, last night I watched some of the press, legacy press. Why does he insult people? They insult him every 5 minutes.
That's right.
He wants to fight back a little bit. He's fighting back for us.
That's That's exactly right. Boy, this is going to be an interesting one. Abel, number one, I appreciate you being here, and we're going to, if it's okay with you, reach out again. I mean, we're a little more than a month away, but we've got early voting underway here in Virginia and other places around the country, and I just love your insight, man. It is brilliant, Jeff, and spot on as always.
Jeff, I want to just close with this. My vote, Jeff Wyatt, let me tell you why I'm doing this. I love my country. I love the USA. And this is a big election for our country. And my vote doesn't matter. But every single vote in Virginia matters. And I'm asking your listeners to not let Kamala Harris do to Virginia what she did to my home state of California.
Well, we are going to do our part. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for being here. That is Abel Maldonado. He is the former Lieutenant Governor of California. Yes, he is a Republican. Yes, he is a conservative. Brilliant guy, a farmer by vocation, profession, from a farming family, the Central Valley. Has done great things in the state of California. He was the last elected Republican in the state of California. And I fear that is going to be the case. I don't know that California will ever elect a Republican again, and that's a sad commentary when you think about it. It is 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 423, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Taking a look at that Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I agree. Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Others are there. They probably have a checkered past as well from your friend in Chester. All right. I know that Pete Rose broke a whole slew of records and set a bunch of records. And I do believe that he should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can put an asterisk there if you want, or point out that he was, in fact, removed from Major League Baseball. But I just don't think you can ignore the fact that he was actually, truly, one of the best baseball players that the game has ever seen. Isn't that what the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about? I mean,
it's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I that's what I thought it was about. I mean, I might be wrong, but I think that's what it is. 804, Jeff, I can't wait. Oh, yeah, I can't wait until the party we support does not make us enemies. We're all Americans. We need to remember that more than ever. Sorry that creep brought up your daughter, Jeff. He's talking about Larry. Kids should be off limits. I disagree with some of your political views, but I know you're a good guy. Well, thank you. I hope we as Americans can overcome the wedge politics that have been created. I'm with you on that. I really am. We've got our buddy Craig Peterson coming up in a couple of moments. How to stay safe online. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Great to have Charles Pyle back today. You know what happens? You hear somebody, and they're really, really good, like the case with Charles. And then yesterday, he wasn't here. I don't know if it was under the weather or what it was, but he wasn't here. It's like, oh, my gosh. Charles, okay. Charles is fine and is back to doing great news reporting in the afternoon. And we're, again, I know I've said this before, but we're really, really happy to have him and Sarah Huffman and Gary Hess doing great work. Gary, of course, doing double duty a lot of the time because he's taking care of all the news in the morning with John Reed. I don't know if you were listening this morning starting at 6 a.m. Boy, I was thrilled, actually, to hear Kevin Sorbo. I'm so excited about Kevin Sorbo coming to town for the Virginia Council. They bring in some good people, tell you that. And Kevin Sorbo was coming to town, and he was on fire this morning and just right on so many things. I'm looking forward to that. And I did think that Dr. Danny Avula was going to bail on John again. But, hey, kudos to him. He actually showed up and seemed like it was, you know, pretty good conversation. I was still reminded why I do not live in the city of Richmond with many of the things he said, but is what it is. All right. So all of that being said, today is Tuesday. I am going to remind you that tomorrow is Wednesday, but it is Rosh Hashanah. I will not be here. We'll be celebrating the Jewish New Year, but back on Thursday, lots of good stuff going to happen on Thursday. And about an hour from now, my dear friend Tom Leonard is going to be here from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. Why? Well, because we have the longshoremen on strike right about now, and it is really going to start impacting food supply and holiday gifts and all the rest of that. Now, on Tuesdays, Craig Peterson joins us. I don't know. Is Craig there?
I don't know. Am I mic'd up?
Oh, there he is. All right, Craig. You were you were hiding in those, computer-generated AI. I don't know. Well, you're here now. That's the important part.
Hey, let's talk about two things here. They're both on my list here from the newsletter. Okay. One is the whole strike by what we used to call longshoremen, right? All of the dock workers.
Yeah.
And they're, what's interesting from their standpoint, and many people are facing this today, is what's going to happen with AI.
Right.
Because when you're talking about loading ships and offloading, now, you know, I have two of my kids are in the marine industry. They both went to the Merchant Marine Academy. My daughter has her captain's license, ship's master's, unlimited oceans, unlimited tonnage, even was commanding U.S. Navy ships back in the day. So I know a little bit about this from what I've heard from them and what I've seen and studied. But it's really important that you load the ships properly, you offload them properly, meaning you don't want it to tip over because you have too much weight on one side or the other side.
No,
and then you've got to take these... Yeah, take these containers, get them to the right destinations, which might mean that they have to be sitting there for a few days while the truck shows up and stuff. 99% of that can be done by AI. Heck, it can be done today by computers. So they're looking at this saying, well, wait a minute, what's going to happen to our jobs? So they're obviously they're asking for more money, et cetera. But it's just another example of how AI is getting into an industry and is changing everything potentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then the other thing was, the storm, of course, and the devastation that was caused. It was fascinating to watch the technology responses here because they were actually flying large drones into the area of the hurricane. And we're using LIDAR, the technology that's been kind of perfected, at least improved by these self-driving cars. So with this LIDAR in the storms, they're able to see all of these tornadoes, whether it might be spinning up, where they are, what the actual air currents are, everything inside. So, you know, it's amazing because that's going to help with predicting the paths and saving lives, which is great. And then they're also using some of these underwater technologies, kind of like LIDAR, to detect things underwater. So various types of obstructions, maybe even people as time goes on. So we're seeing the response to hurricanes and tornadoes that come from the hurricanes really, really stepped up now because of some of this technology.
You know, that is fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. Let me ask you to go back for a second to the longshoremen or dock workers or whatever the terminology is. Those guys, as we pointed out, they're on strike now. They're concerned about AI and the robots and all the rest of that stuff taking over. But as you point out, their job, if I'm looking at it, and I understand it's a hard job, but man, it is. It's the equivalent, isn't it, of being in the buggy whip business in 2024,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, it really is, frankly. And that's a good example because, you know, we had all of these guys, and back then it was all guys, mm-hmm. who were hauling stuff, using horses, teams of horses. And you might have heard of a union called the Teamsters.
That's right.
Which was, again, these guys that had these teams of horses hauling stuff around. They're still around today. And what's happened with technology in the past is, yeah, people have lost jobs in certain industries. There's no question about it as technology advances. But the ultimate result has always been more jobs when you move forward. There are a heck of a lot more Teamsters today, more trucks driving around than there were just horses and teams pulling these buggies, as you call them, right, and wagons.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it's going to be fascinating. And I got to get you, one of the things that just jumped out at me in the newsletter is the thing about scams. And let me, I want everybody to hear it. Scams. You'd never fall for an online scam, right? That's what I'm telling you. I would never fall for one of these online scams. Now, you convince me otherwise.
Okay. This is great. This is out of Harvard University. Make sure your nose is adequately high in the air, along with your pinky. And they found that, in fact, the online scams are getting sneakier. We've lost $12.5 billion to cybercrime. It's incredible. And we're just talking about AI and potential job loss. And what we found now is they're using AI to take the data that has been stolen from businesses all over the country, and that using that AI data now to generate emails to you that are specifically targeted at you and your life. And it's really sad to see some of this stuff. But, you know, people say, well, it's old people, it's the elderly, it's people like us, Jeff, that are going to fall for this, right?
That's right. That's right.
and reality is that's not the case. Every age group falls for this stuff. So I've got an article that from Harvard to point to the study and a little bit of commentary on it. But we've got to be careful of that, which leads to my Crack the Code article.
Yes.
Which is the whole data privacy revolution. And we've talked about horses and Teamsters. Well, we've let the horse out of the barn, I'm afraid, when it comes to our private data. Yeah. Because there are billions of records that have been leaked onto the dark web, let's say. And these hosers are trying to suck the money out of our account. So I did a serious deep dive into Virginia laws on privacy. So what do you have to do if you're a small business person? What responsibilities do you have? What kind of teeth does the law have? But if you're a consumer and you think someone might be mishandling your data or even has your data and you don't want them to keep it, what can you do? So I've got an up-to-date deep dive. I've spent a bunch of time on that in this week's newsletter. Well, you have to click through from the newsletter, but yeah. It's horse barn, right? Fire. They're out, but there's still stuff you can do, Jeff.
All right. Now I have to ask you about Proton Mail, because I 1,000 years ago was one of those guys who got an invitation for this brand new thing called Gmail. Remember when you had to be invited? It was a really big deal. And now even the dogs have a Gmail, but you're saying Proton Mail is the way to go. Why? Why should I change everything to Proton Mail?
Oh, this is a great article in Medium called Goodbye Gmail. They are now, we know that for a long time that they've been reading our email, right? If you were kidding yourself otherwise, you know, I feel sorry. But now they're using your emails for their AI. And with their AI. So Google's been accused of using your emails now to train its AI. So it knows all kinds of stuff about you. And as we found from various researchers who've been looking into what the hosers are doing, that information can actually be extracted from some of these large language models. So scanning our messages, not a good thing. Scanning them just to show us advertisements, okay, that's not the worst thing. If I want to buy a truck, I'd love to see ads for trucks, right?
That's right.
But in reality, that data is, it's Willie Sutton, right? Where the money. It's in the bank. Where's the data? It's at Google. It's at the IRS. It's at various government agencies. Is it this business and that business? So that's where they're spending their time to try and grab data. And unfortunately, they're getting it. Now, ProtonMail, end-to-end encryption, they have a free level, and it's based in Switzerland, where they've got some serious privacy laws.
Yeah, they do.
So I've started using ProtonMail a while ago. I avoid Gmail whenever I can. They remove, people might not even know this, Jeff, but remember they used to say, don't be evil?
Yes.
It was on their website.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's gone now. So I guess maybe they've adopted evilism as their religion. I don't know.
We're Gmail. We help you to be evil. Wow. I don't know. It's got a, it's a little clunky, but I guess we can hammer that out in post-production. I need people to sign up for your newsletter, Craig. Remind everybody how they do that.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you this newsletter today if you sign up now, if you haven't already got it. But just go to craigpeterson.com. That's my website, the homepage, craigpeterson.com, and you'll automatically get the free email newsletter. No obligation, no spamming. I promise.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Craig, I appreciate you being here, my friend. That is Craig Peterson. If you are not signed up for the newsletter, again, it's absolutely free of charge. There's no advertising. He's not selling anything. He is a lifetime, a career computer guy who just said, there's a lot of bad stuff, and I want to help people. Now, he's got a business on the side that, well, not on the side. He's got a business, and he does cybersecurity for big companies and the rest of it. This is his passion project, and man, is it good. CraigPeterson.com. 447, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 454, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Do me a favor, would you please make sure you're tuning in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., for my friend John Reed, this morning, if you missed it, Kevin Sorbo was wonderful, and I really am anxious to go and see him. He's coming. It's later this month, right? I have to check the Virginia Council website, thevirginiacouncil.org. It's a group that John is the founding director of. I think I got the title right, but they do a great job. They really, really do. They do a great, great job, and Kevin Sorbo is going to be great when he comes to town. I'll tell you who else is going to do a great job coming up in, well, just about 2 weeks. We've got the 8th edition of Politics and Pints, and it really has grown and grown and grown over these last 5 years or so. Brian Kilmeade had a great time last time. He's coming back. It was a shock to him, but he was happy that he's coming back, because I caught up with him in D.C. in the green room, and I said, oh, we're really looking forward to seeing you the next Politics and Pints. And he went, oh, am I going to that? And his assistant said, yes, you are. And he said, well, yes, I am. So he's going to be there. Dana Loesch is going to be there. And obviously, most importantly, John Reed and I are going to be there. And, well, even more important than that, you're going to be there, but you're only going to be there if you snag yourself a couple of the last remaining tickets, because this is it, man. With the down at the bottom of the box, but I mean, it's all the general admission seating, so you're going to get a good seat and you get your pint and you enjoy the show, but they're going to be gone in a couple of minutes. So head on over newsradio.wrva.com. That's where you need to go to get your tickets, and it is the only place to get them. We don't sell them at the door. We're not doing that this time either. So if you don't get them online, you're not going to go. And the only way that you can get them is newsradio.wrva.com. newsradio.wrva.com. My dear friend Tom Leonard from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market is going to be along at 5:35. Why? Well, because the dock workers, the longshoremen, are on strike. It's impacting two big ports, and I am concerned. You know why? Because I like to eat every day. I like to wear clothing. I like things that are being delivered. And if they're not coming off of these ships, I don't know what happens. But Tom Leonard has been analyzing it for us, and he's going to be with us at 5:35 with the update. So please make sure that you are here. 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Ah, what are you going to do? It's Tuesday. But the rain has stopped, and from the looks of it, we're going to have some relatively nice weather for the next week or so. right? Partly cloudy to mostly sunny and comfortable temps. I'll take those. Tom Leonard is going to be with us at 5:35 from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. I want to know how we're going to be impacted with the longshoremen strike. You got two big ports, apparently, that are being impacted. And, I'm not in the shipping business. I'm in the buying business. I'm the consumer end. I'm the end user. I know I want to go to the store and buy whatever it is that I want to buy. And if it's not there, I'm going to be upset. So I need to know the details. That's all. I need to know the details on that. So he's going to be with us at 5:35. Tomorrow, don't get scared. I shan't be here. It's a weird thing that happens in radio. That's why we were all upset. Where's Charles Pyle? Charles was absent yesterday. And nobody told us. So he just wasn't here. It's like, oh my God. And you know that happens, right? People go away and then they never come back. It's like the kid on like Days of Our Lives. Kid 6 years old goes up to his room. The next day he comes down. He's 24. He's just graduated college. Yeah, you know, weird things happen. So weird things do happen in radio and TV. People go away and you don't know anything about it. So that's why I always give you the heads up. I'm not going to be here tomorrow. It's Rosh Hashanah, the new year, Jewish new year. And we've got some good stuff for Thursday. I'm not going to tell you right now, but you want to be here for that. Listen, tonight is the debate with Tampon Tim Walz, that's what they call him, and J.D. Vance. I don't know which side you're on. Well, you're listening to this program. I got a sense of where you might be. And there's this debate about whether vice presidential debates mean anything. I'll tell you something. When Mike Pence debated, and I thought after watching Mike Pence debate and that whole VP thing, remember that? I thought, you know, he's pretty good. Now, I've known Mike Pence for 30 years. We started out as little baby talk show hosts together in Indianapolis. He went on to, one or two other things. But I thought that debate did a lot of good for Donald Trump. Perhaps J.D. Vance will also do a lot of good for Donald Trump. It's a very stark contrast at this point between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. And some of the people who are still, believe it or not, they're still undecided. Now, why are they undecided? It's not that they dislike Donald Trump's policies. They love Donald Trump's policies. They lived through the last 4 years, and they lived through the 4 years.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before that, so they know that the Trump policies are far better. They're still a little concerned about some of the things he says, some of the ways he says them. So I am hoping that Senator J.D. Vance this evening is able to put all of that to rest. Tim Walz is a proven liar. Over and over and over and over again, including these trips to China. Now, it's a weird thing because a lot of people are wondering if he is, in fact, like a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese Communist Party. It's a legitimate question to ask. He claimed that he was at Tiananmen Square fighting for liberty. He was in Nebraska. He's now claiming that he was in Hong Kong at the time that was changing. There's no indication that any of that stuff is true, but take a listen. Now, cut number one is an interesting thing. This comes from state taxpayer-funded Minnesota Public Radio. But even they, despite the fact that you can tell this guy is madly in love with Tim Walz, even they call out some of his lies. Cut number one.
The Democratic Party introduced vice presidential candidate Tim Walz to the nation as a Midwestern dad and a football coach. But the Minnesota governor is also a world traveler with a ton of experience in China. Walz used to talk about it all the time back when he first ran for Congress in 2006.
And by starting cooperations with an incredibly important area of the world with China and taking hundreds and hundreds of students to learn that too, I think that gives me a unique perspective that is a lot more Minnesota and a lot less Washington.
In fact, during his time in Congress, Walz occasionally exaggerated how many times he'd been to China.
One of the things we've been focusing on, and I lived in China, and as I said, I've been there about 30 times.
We investigated and found that it's more like 15 times. But still, that's a lot. His experience in China sets him apart from most people who've run for the highest offices in the U.S. But now that Walz is running for vice president, he barely mentions China. Here's some key points about his time there. Walz lived in China for about a year, starting in 1989, when he was a 25-year-old teacher. He lived in Foshan and said he traveled across the country, thousands of miles, to Tiananmen Square and Tibet. He returned to Nebraska to teach social studies, and he started arranging summer trips to take students with him to China. We tracked down video of one of these trips. You can see him hiking the Great Wall and smiling after he plucks meat from a snail shell. Students and teachers who knew him said he spoke at least proficient Mandarin back then. Walz kept running these summer trips when he moved to Minnesota in 1996, and his work on China continued when he got to Congress. And he's been critical of China. He's advocated for democracy and co-sponsored a bill aimed at protecting civil rights in Hong Kong. As vice president, Walz would have a way bigger foreign policy role than he does as governor. His expertise there would seem to be an asset. So why isn't he talking about it? Maybe because Republicans have tried to turn his time there into a political liability.
It's very possible that China would be grooming an up-and-coming rising star in the political process to try to have a foothold in our government.
But Walz was hardly a rising political star when he made all those trips there. He was a small-town history teacher. So the question is it an asset or a liability for a vice presidential candidate to have deep experience in China?
I suppose it all depends on what he was really doing there. I suppose his veracity is also called into question. Did he go to China 30 times or 15 times? Well, Minnesota Public Radio says it's 15. Tim Walz said it was 30. Do you think, in fact, that Minnesota Public Radio is trying to downplay his visits to China to make him seem less of a threat? I mean, I'm just spitballing here. I don't know the answer to it. But it seems like there's a whole bunch of doubling down and recalibrating. First, Tiny Tim Walz said that he was at Tiananmen Square. Well, that wasn't true. Then he said, I was in Hong Kong when Tiananmen Square happened. Well, he was actually in Nebraska. And I don't know a lot about Nebraska, except that it's 416 miles east to west and west to east, because I've driven across it a couple of times, and there's nothing to see there. But I don't know all that much about Nebraska, but I do not believe there is a city called Hong Kong in Nebraska. I could be wrong. You'll have to fact check me, but I don't think there is. There are newspaper articles talking about him being in Nebraska at the time at Tiananmen Square. So that's just a flat out lie. Whether he got the number of trips wrong or right, well, what are you going to do? I went 25 times. No, it was actually 24. Okay, I'll give you that one. Were you a command sergeant major? Yes, I was. No, you weren't. You're a liar is what you are. You are a proven, confirmed liar, and that concerns me. I guess we'll find out tonight. Hey, do you remember Henry McMaster? You do, don't you? Yeah, well, he was on CBS. I want you to take a listen to a very interesting interaction, cut number 3.
Now, President Biden has said an all-out war must be avoided. But take a look at this video from CBS News' Chris Libsey and team who are on the northern Israeli border with Lebanon, where tanks and armored vehicles have been massing in what's being described as the clearest sign yet Israel is preparing for some kind of ground invasion, something that has the potential of being far deadlier than anything we've seen so far. Tony.
Yeah, if Hezbollah thought that Israel was going to graciously take a year full of rockets, Hezbollah miscalculated. MTS Tayyab in Lebanon. MTS, thank you very much. Let's bring in CBS News contributor and former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. General, thank you very much for being here.
Good.
You know, in the aftermath of Nasrallah's killing on Friday, you've got statements from Vice President Harris and Biden calling him a terrorist, saying he's got innocent blood on his hands. John Kirby said it's good for the region and good for the world that he's dead. For Americans who are confused by those statements, explain them. Why is Hezbollah's leader's death a positive?
Yeah, Hezbollah is a devastating terrorist organization that has an impact, obviously, on Israel, who they have vowed to destroy and to kill all the Jews. But they're a global terrorist organization. In the 1990s, they really went global with assassinations in Europe. Remember, they shot down an airliner in Panama. They destroyed a Jewish community center in Argentina.
So three cheers, first of all, to whoever that guy is who was sitting at the desk, who did not allow that wackadoodle reporter to kind of diss Israel. Did you notice that? He actually called him out, and he did it in such an easy, friendly way. Oh, I loved it. I did. I really, really loved it. I thought that was great. And good for him. And Henry McMaster also pointing out the truth. Hey, listen. Hezbollah is comprised of bad guys. Israel, well, those are the good guys. And we should always be on the side of the good guys. It's just that simple, you know? It's just not that difficult. All right. Coming up in about 20 minutes, my dear friend Tom Leonard is going to be here from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market because, well, I mean, I love talking to Tom at all. There's good stuff over the store, I know, but I want to know about these strikes at the ports. Are the shelves going to be empty? Are the prices going to go up? How's it going to impact us? Nobody better to explain that. And the other thing I was thinking of, it's going to sound weird, I know, because it's October the 1st. I'm thinking about the holidays. What about Hanukkah and Christmas? Is that going to get knocked out of the box because of these strikes? Anyway, we'll chat with Tom all about it at 5:35. It is 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 5:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I want you to pay very, very, very close attention. CNN, boy, you got some wackadoodles on CNN. And yet, you've got the Scott Jennings character. I don't know how CNN found him. I don't know how long CNN is going to keep him. Believe me, this concerted effort to shut down conservatives, boy, it is real. It is palpable. So I don't know how long he's going to be there. But as long as he's there, I'm going to enjoy him. And you should as well. Cut number two.
Kamala is mentally impaired. Joe Biden became mentally impaired. Kamala was born that way. If you think about it, only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country.
What should he say? Should he say, look, I want to talk about the issues. I want to talk about my plan to allow health insurance companies to deny coverage again to people with pre-existing conditions. I want to talk about my plan to build a network of concentration camps to hold 10 million people and then dump them all in Mexico, wherever they came from before and without regard to what the Mexicans think. I have a plan to make Social Security finances less stable. I mean, because the issues are not going to work for him, that's why the genius of Donald Trump was to understand, look, the Paul Ryan message doesn't sell. What does sell in America is racialized contempt. So that is what I'm going to offer. I mean, plus Paul Ryan, but racialized contempt. And that has always been the core of the message. That is the message. So when he's not off message, he's on it. And he's always understood television better than any of the other people in the Republican Party. Say, what does galvanize the people who support Trump, who rejected better, cleaner, more decent, more intelligent Republicans in the past, who rejected Mitt Romney, although Mitt Romney got more of the vote? What is Trump's special sauce? Racialized contempt. So of course he's going with that as his closing argument.
And I disagree with you that the issues aren't working for Trump. I mean, the fact is, in all the polling we've done, the Gallup poll, everything that's come out in the last few days, they trust him more on the economy, they trust him more on immigration, they trust him more on foreign policy. So the issues actually are working for him. To what extent this is the correct vector right now when you have this issue set that is quite clearly working for you, I think that's a debating point for campaign strategy, but I just disagree. I think the issues are setting up quite nicely for him.
I think Mr. Jennings is absolutely correct, and Mr. Frum before him, he ought to hang his head in shame. What nonsense. He is a smart guy. You can't take that away from David Frum. I think he's a smart guy, but man, the garbage that he is spewing there It is, of course, absolutely positively untrue. But how could anybody with a straight face, say, oh, Donald Trump's going to set up 10 concentration camps? It's especially painful because, well, personal background, we lost family in actual concentration camps. And I know Frum's background. So that's why, man, you should not be saying that. You just shouldn't. That's when you've lost the argument, right? There's some rule. Germ, you know what it is? You have to look it up. There's some rule that when you invoke the Nazis or Hitler, you have lost the argument. And somebody did this study, and it's got his name, and I forget what it is, but it's a real thing. Trust me on this. Do not doubt me, as somebody used to say. The so-and-so rule. When you invoke Hitler or the Nazis, you have lost the argument. That's what's going on there. You don't have to like Donald Trump. Like, on a personal basis, which I, having now chatted with him and met him, I'm here to tell you, he is an absolutely gracious, gracious gentleman. But, okay, you don't like something he said, you don't like the way he said something, you don't like something that he tweeted, I got it, but what do you think about the policies? Were you better off when President Trump was president or when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were there in the Oval Office? That's the question you have to ask. And once you answer that, well, then you can decide exactly how you are going to vote. It is about the future. That's right. But there are indications from the past how the future might shake out. By the way, we'll be talking about all of this at Politics and Pints, October the 16th, down in Hopewell. Couple of tickets left, apparently. Go to newsradiowrva.com, newsradiowrva.com. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Five 35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday, and for the most part, it's looking like the rain has kind of gotten dialed back. It's gone. You may see a couple of showers pop up through the overnight, but for the most part, that's it. And we've got a nice week of sunshine, believe it or not. I'm looking forward to that. I really am. That's going to be pretty cool stuff. Having said that, you might encounter some shortages here or there. You may have heard 50,000 members of the International Longshoremen's Association are now officially on strike against the East Coast ports and the Gulf Coast ports. Now, what does that mean? Right? I'm not a longshoreman, but I got to figure that a lot of stuff that I eat or wear or bring into the house comes through those ports. My dear friend Tom Leonard, as you know, owns and operates, one of my favorite stores, Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market over in Short Pump. Great, great fun there. I mean, Heidi and I go shopping there all the time, and I know I got the pumpkin patch up and running and all that good stuff, but I asked Tom if he could weigh in on what's going on with the ports, and I'm very happy to say he's accepted the assignment. Tom, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Jeff, it's nice to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm a little concerned with the strike by the longshoremen. What exactly is going on, and are we going to be hit by it?
Well, long story short, there's a lot of businesses, including ourselves, you know, which with all the inflation and the prices going up, you know, really counting on this fourth quarter to kind of make the year.
Yes.
And by shutting down all these ports, they're basically cutting off the jugular vein for all the Christmas and the holiday things coming in, not to mention all the grapes, all the strawberry, all the product coming in from out of the country. And I think you're going to see prices skyrocket, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, I was talking to TJ about it today, mm-hmm. and he said to me, you know, Dad, one of the things that you need to mention to Jeff is that this hurricane that came through devastated the citrus crops in Florida, all the fall veg in the Carolinas, up through Georgia, and that you're going to see prices go up because it's underwater. He was talking to our Christmas tree growers. Now, we're lucky because a lot of the things that we buy at Tom Leonard's are locally grown.
Right.
So, you know, we're not dealing with, you know, China that much, if at all, sometimes. But this product that it's underwater. He said, you know, it's underwater. Our Christmas tree growers that are in Virginia in the southwest corner, they haven't, he's called three or four times now, they haven't even had a chance to get into the fields to see how bad the damage is. So you're going to see probably prices go up for all the Christmas trees, all the, everything at Christmas. And you know, I mentioned to Karen before that, you know, Kamala Harris might just get a chance to see her price gouging when there's only one pre-lit tree at Walmart for sale for Christmas. And,
that's right.
You know, might not be at a sale price.
Wow. Wow. So that's all stuff like you mentioned the veggies that are in North Carolina, some of the stuff in Florida. So that would be stuff we would be expecting to come into the store. Now you know me. I always go to the meat counter, but Heidi knows all about the produce. So what would it have been that would have been coming in, say, from Georgia or Florida or those areas?
Well, take all the citrus. Take all the citrus out of Florida. Okay.
Wow.
Florida really supplies up and down the East Coast during the winter for all the products that we have. And if you go over to California, you kind of, if you think of it, you know, Mexico kind of pumps up that way.
Yep.
Into all the California things. And so we rely on Florida.
Yeah.
And the Carolinas, Georgia, for a lot of stuff. And that this is going to make a big difference. That hurricane really set us back.
I want to remind everybody, my dear friend Tom Leonard from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market is joining us, trying to get a little update, a little insight on what's going to happen with the hurricane and the port strike. So we're talking about Hurricane Helene. We're talking about the citrus coming up from Florida. You just mentioned the Christmas trees. I mean, here it is. It's October. I know you guys work so many months ahead. You're thinking absolutely about Christmas and Q4 and putting everybody into the profitable thing for the year. We are probably in this part of the world, Tom. We're just thinking it's October. It's going to be Halloween. Does this impact? Does it impact pumpkins? Are we going to see pumpkins?
Well, think about it this way. Think about it this way, Jeff. When the bridge went down up by Annapolis,
yep.
Think about how that set everything back.
Right. Right.
Now imagine shutting them all down.
Yep.
I mean, this is going to be devastating if they don't get this fixed. I mean, you got to get some leadership in there in order to sit back and realize that this is an absolutely terrible time to do it. But I heard also today that there was a little bit of notice on this thing, that this thing isn't something they decided to do Monday morning. I mean, this is something that's been brewing for quite a long time. So I have no idea whether the requests are reasonable or not. I mean, that's out of my wheelhouse. But
yeah,
as far as doing this, you couldn't pick a worse time to do it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Tom, I'm looking at some of the other stuff that's going to be impacted. Now, you alluded to a lot of this. Imported wine, liquor, and beer, that's not coming off the ships, right? There's furniture, household goods, cars, and also parts that are needed for American factories. Those are not going to be coming off those ships. There's just a huge ripple effect here.
But, Jeff, think of it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Those ships are on the way there now. I mean, what are they going to do with the ships?
Right.
I mean, they're not going to, you know, go back and dump everything off. I mean, they're going to sit there and hope that this thing gets resolved. I mean, it's incredibly expensive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it adds to all the prices, and you know, just at a time when we're all hoping that maybe there might be some window here where the prices start coming down and things get more affordable for families.
Right.
This happens.
It is crazy. Tom Leonard joining me from Tom Leonard's Farmers Market. You know, Tom, you talk about leadership, and we got to be brutally honest on this. President Biden has said he stands with the striking port workers, the longshoremen, but he also has the authority, the power to have sort of like a cool-off period where we could get back to operating and life would go on, but he doesn't want to do it because it's going to anger the unions.
Well, I don't know much about that type of things. I mean, you know, I'm You know, I'm all for some strong leadership in Washington, and you know, there's other things the wheels are falling off too. But I think you know, somebody's got to get in there and fix this thing, because it's not going to be good. And by the time they do get this solved, if it's not immediately down the road, it's going to be a lot of damage. And, so, you know, it's going to be more expensive.
That's what I wanted to. You alluded to a higher price. Everybody who's had, you know, just the minimal amount of economics education understands supply and demand. We're taking all the supply away, but the demand's not going away. So those prices are going to shoot through the roof.
Well, they're going to, I mean, if they don't send it by ship, they got to send it by plane.
Right.
So, I mean, that's much more expensive.
Yeah.
And then what do they do with all the product that they already bought that's on the ship?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a very complicated problem for a lot of people. And, you know, this is, it's not good. And then you swing around and behind it, you wipe out everything coming up the East Coast with this hurricane. We're kind of bracing for it. I'm glad TJ's back running this store now, because he's really good doing this type of, you know, working through these kinds of problems. He's much better at it than I am. But
he's better. Yeah. But yeah, I should remind everybody, you know, my buddy, your son, TJ, is back. He's doing a great job. Heidi and I had the chance to catch up with him the last time we were over the store, and what an absolute pleasure, and somebody who he knows what he's doing. Let's talk positive, Tom. We got like another minute or two. Are there good things happening to the store right now? How's the pumpkin patch coming along?
No, the pumpkins are doing great, and that, you know, they're 100% locally grown, and, you know, the jack-o'-lanterns, they're terrific size, and you know, you can mix and match with the mums, and, you know, we have a great bargain on those. The pumpkin, so far this year, it's up. And which means, you know, Jeff, if you think of it this way, if people are decorating their house for Halloween, then you think it's going to be a big Christmas. People are going to be, you know, going for the bigger Christmas trees, or they're going to be, you know, decorating or buying more wreaths, roping, you know, type of thing. Now, all of a sudden, it's, can you get it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, we have a very good relationship with our Christmas tree growers, but hell, if they get wiped out, I mean, we got to swing around and get them someplace else. And, you know, everybody else is going to be trying to do it too. Yeah. But, you know, we're hoping for a big Christmas with, you know, finish the fourth quarter off with a bang this year.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody's, you know, I mean, TJ's got the place decorated. It looks fantastic.
Yep.
And, you know, there's some great bargains over there now. And, you know, everybody seems to be doing a good job. I'm thrilled with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but and I'm going to be at Politics and Pints with TJ.
Oh, good.
So I'll put that one in. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Well, a couple of things. Next week, tell TJ I'd love to get him on. We'll talk about some of the fun stuff, the stuff that he's doing at the store, and how to keep those prices down. I mean, I know you guys really do work overtime to do that. We're looking forward to seeing you at Politics and Pints.
Yeah, hey, there is a downside to this, though, because the store that Heidi and Karen like to go to, I mean, they import a lot of that stuff. it might give us a break, Jeff.
That is the proverbial double-edged sword. It certainly is. Tom, I appreciate you being here, my friend. You tell Karen that we were asking for it, and TJ. And
okay. Hi, Heidi.
Your beautiful little future chairman, Stewie, there as well. He's a good-looking kid. That is my buddy, Tom Leonard. He really is the best of the best. Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market. But you're hearing, look, Hurricane Helene has wiped out citrus and vegetables. Prices are going to go up. The strike at the ports, prices are going to go up. We're in for some rough sledding ahead. But I do thank Tom from Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market for taking a few moments for us. He really just one of the best guys I know. 546, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. He was on the beach. Now, I understand it. If you're the President of the United States and you're on the beach, you can still have access to stuff and you can still get stuff done. But my God, would you just stop lying about this? Joe Biden checked out. Well, I'm not even sure that he ever checked in, but assuming for the sake of argument that he had checked in at the beginning of his term, Lord knows he's been checked out for a while. Yeah. Tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. Now, I did mention to you that we have a couple of New Years in the Jewish. It's even I don't understand it, and I've been dealing with it for a long time. But having said that, I want to wish you a Shana Tov, L'Shana Tova, a sweet and happy New Year. Beware the weather this evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again on Thursday. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.